The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
You know, my tweaked version of a strategic marketing business plan, my JOLT process.
Right.
So after this step one of really, you know, making sure somebody's done some introspective work and thought through things themselves, then I want them to do the same thing for their company. What's the purpose of their company? Are they going to cure cancer? You know, because people want to work in an organization that has a cause. So they need to really firm that up and make sure that it's on paper and they're sharing it with everyone. That's externally facing, outwardly facing. So share that. And then I want to know their vision. And this is like the finished product, right? Are they going to be a $1 trillion company like Apple and have a circular building and with, you know, international? Or are they going to be virtual, brick and mortar? Do they want to create legacy? Do they want to build something up to a certain point and sell it? Are they going to remain the CEO to right. a certain period of time? You know, and, you know, financial freedom is usually part of that equation. They don't really know the numbers, what that could look like and what's involved in selling and all the costs. So that's a lot of fun. And then, you know, we really try to crystallize their avatar, their ideal client, their segment, yep. you know, whatever word or words you want to use. And there's several ways to slice that.
Yeah. But who you do business with can be a choice. Doesn't have to be, right? So
if you do that exercise, it can be. If you don't, yeah. it's usually not. You take whatever comes your way.
Well, I can't not go to that because I might get business from him and I got to talk to him and I better be nice to him because he knows this part. I'm like, you know, that's it's exhausting for me just to listen to that stuff sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right?
And then you can bounce back and forth. You can toggle a little bit in my process between strategic, your strategy and your objectives.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lance Knobb from Denali Consulting and Breakthrough Physical Therapy and Fitness, and I help overwhelmed entrepreneurs stuck in their six-figure businesses break the million-dollar barrier, achieve true freedom, and create the lives they love while scaling their businesses to create a valuable asset that's operated by their fearless leadership team.
All right. So do I call you Dr. Knobb or call you Lance or?
You know, you definitely call me Lance. You could say a Dr. Knobb once and then we'll go Lance or something like, you know.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate coming on the podcast, taking the time. I know it's busy time and it's freaking hot in New Jersey for both of us. So, but I, you know, I want to talk to you about your background and you have unique things that you're doing with businesses and entrepreneurs, and you're a physical therapist originally. So maybe I'll let you start with your story and tell your background and get into it.
Sure. So I am a doctor of physical therapy, and my wife and I actually met in physical therapy school, of all places, in Aberdeen, Scotland. And I know you love to travel, so we'll talk about that, and wanted to live and study abroad. So that was amazing. And I began practicing for several years and began feeling a little bit frustrated with the you know, what I was able to offer and really not being able to put my hands on, do what we call manual therapy and really supervise exercise, you know, the biggest skills in our profession. And we started a practice called Breakthrough, and we really wanted to integrate fitness and physical therapy as one of our differentiating factors and really to serve the world the best. And it's really not being done. So we started subletting 300 square feet, the size of an average bedroom, and kind of went from there and expanded into a 6,000 square feet space. And we have six locations, and we've developed some of our best people as partners, which I'm very passionate about, you know, developing your people and your leaders and, mm-hmm. and, you know, personal and professional development. I guess part of my story in 2011, something that really I want to share, one of the messages that most powerful and important to me is we just had our third child and we had three locations, about 30 people, and I was working too much and not sleeping enough. And
yeah, burning the candle. This was, you said, about 10 years ago?
Correct. And so three children all under four, and you know, just abusing my body, and my body, you know, revolted, and my gastrointestinal system, my digestive system stopped working. Ooh. And that was a slap in the face. I couldn't eat, so I didn't have any energy, and I was trying to lead 30 people, three locations, support our young family, and you know, I was able to pick myself up and get through that. But I'm really passionate about helping entrepreneurs stay healthy personally, right, and of course have healthy businesses and, you know, kind of avoid burnout.
Was it a lot related to, because you're in kind of a healthy profession, so it was a lot stress related? I mean, because I think stress is like so worse than anything else we could do to ourselves. We just tear ourselves out, you know, from the inside out. So totally. That's what it was. It was just too much, huh?
Too much combination, yeah. Stress and sleep and, yeah, you know, not enough exercise, not eating well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just on with, you know, an entrepreneur who's sleeping 3 hours a week. It seems like sleep is one of the first easiest places entrepreneurs cut. And yeah, to your point, medical doctors, I had an endoscopy and fortunately they didn't find anything. And, you know, sort of after the fact, their best diagnosis was just stress related.
Yeah. No, I have a lot of GI issues growing up as a nice Jewish boy in New Jersey. Right. And I've learned, stay away from anything that ends in oscopy. It's never a good experience.
Agreed. You know, I've had
endoscopies, sigmoidoscopies, and all these things. Like, oh, nope, not again. So we're going to do that. But I'm glad that you recovered from it. I think that people have the misimpression, like you become an entrepreneur, you become a business owner. The first thing you're supposed to do is not sleep for 48 hours and do everything overnight, not eat right, and just fall apart. And it doesn't need to be that way. As a matter of fact, it's definitely more of a marathon, as you and I were talking, when it comes to business planning and the kind of planning you need to do. It's not a sprint. The sprinters die out. They don't make it in business. And I think it was maybe it was an early lesson for you, a little bit of a wake up call. So, but at that point, 10 years ago, you had the business. It was pretty thriving, right? You had the six locations. You had the whole thing going on. You're like, how is this possible?
We had three at that time, but you're right. You can do some sprints, but they have to be mini sprints, right. And you definitely have to make sure you're being sustainable.
Yeah. You just can't think you're going to sprint the whole way.
Agreed.
And then once I get there, I'll do this. And you never do. So you have to, that's one of the mistakes I made when I was younger. Definitely believing that I could, you know, just be so tough and, you know, it's like the programmer. I was never a programmer, but the guys who did things on computers, they would stay up for 4 or 5 days developing this thing. And you know how they felt? That they were a wreck after, you know, they were like full of energy and stuff. So yeah,
my college roommate was a computer engineer, and yeah, those guys are wired a little differently. He definitely was a night owl and stayed up all night, but then, you know, he'd sleep consecutive days after that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know. It's crazy. All right. So that was 10 years ago. So keep taking us through the.
So yeah, more recently than in 2018, I was able to develop our best people and really create a fearless leadership team who, and what I'll call a freestanding business by putting the fundamentals in place.
It's important. And that's still the PT business at that point?
Correct. So that's our breakthrough physical therapy and fitness. And in 2018, I had to kind of figure out what I was going to do because I handed off all the leadership hats. And I remember doing a development plan meeting with Dr. Nate Stelz, and he said, I want to be the CEO. And at first I was taken back, and then I realized, well, this could be great, you know, so we can continue to work towards that over the next several years. And in 2018, that happened. And I tried to figure out what I was going to do. I was going to spread my wings. I talked to a franchise broker, looked at some franchises, realized I was a little too entrepreneurial for that. And then I was at Podcast Movement in Philadelphia. I went to see one of the
people. Yeah, that's great. I want to go to that one day.
Yeah,
there's fantastic. It's like thousands of people there, right? It's a big event.
It is. And they just went back to in-person this year. But John Lee Dumas is really who I wanted to see. Okay. And I saw him, and a company called Self Publishing School was there. So I guess everything was kind of coming together. I realized I love developing people, leaders and entrepreneurs. And I was really resonating on doing some coaching, consulting, and helping, pay everything forward to other small business owners and leaders. And Self Publishing School, someone named Lisa Zelenik helped me realize that putting a book together would be a great way to get some credibility and authority. And, you know, as a doctor of physical therapy, and, you know, small business owner, didn't really have much authority to, you know, I'm certainly not Tony Robbins, right, at that point. So I started a book and finished the book in 2020. And, you know, in 2018, I did a group mastermind, started coaching and consulting people, kind of monetized. And released a book in 2020 called The 4% Breakthrough. And really, my greatest passion is serving other entrepreneurs now, especially six-figure entrepreneurs who want to get seven-figure, especially entrepreneurs who, you know, aren't taking good care of themselves and have a healthy lifestyle. Lifestyle is totally under our control. And then also, I'm really very profit-first focused.
Yeah, I
want to make sure they're, you know, not even profitable just on paper, but cash flow.
Right.
Profitable and positive and, you know, making some good decisions in advance and paying themselves competitively because, you know, and even just investing, I really am studying investing and want to make sure they pay themselves first, both with their exercise and also maybe putting some money away.
Yeah, no, definitely as human beings, we, even if it's not the most efficient way to do things, we tend to just do the thing that's easy. If we don't put in systems that save money and to do this and to do that, that's why I like profit first. And I like Mike. He was on my podcast, I think last summer or the summer before or something, in the middle of they had a power outage where he was. He got to his office and talked to me on his cell phone or something, a little video we did. But he's a great, I love all of his books. I use Profit First for my practice. I think it's a healthy way to live financially. So when you didn't exit the PT business though, you kind of moved from like CEO to chairman of the board, right? Is that basically what happened?
Basically. Yeah. So I'm still doing some treating and I still love that, you know, kind of doing a little bit less and less, but correct. I'm still the managing partner. And, you know, I love that you interviewed Michael McAllowitz. That's amazing. And I guess the way we met is through, you know, I almost hate to use the word bookkeeper because Ainsley Maloney is so much more than that.
Yeah.
I guess my question for you is, do you use the Profit First like 100% on their model?
I don't. I mean, it's just me. I used to use it more in depth when I had a bigger practice. But for me, I want to keep things simple. So I basically have an operating account, a Profit First account, and a taxes account. And I also have a personal account with my wife. So I'll move money over there. But, you know, money comes in 20%. I'm always a little bit more conservative about it because everybody keeps telling me 15. But 20% goes into the tax account. I pay stuff out of there. And then money goes into Profit First. And then actually, so when I changed my business and I really went back on my own in 2019, it was like July, August. So it took me a while to get things organized. I didn't know where my office was going to be, whatever. So I restarted my LLC, I think like January of, was it this year? Maybe it was this year. I really wanted a separation between the practice, had some debts and things like that. I didn't want to start up a new one and they'll just be like, well, it's a new practice, even though I had different partners. So I started in January. With the pandemic, it was very hard to manage. So when I set it up with the new LLC, I set up the accounts, started doing it. So in the end of the first quarter, it was around my anniversary. And I had, I don't know, $1,500 and $2,000 in there. I don't know, a couple thousand dollars. And we went away for the weekend. And she's like, this is so nice. I'm like, well, I have this system that I use. Remember that guy was on my podcast? I love him. My wife's like, yeah. So now like the quarter comes to an end. My wife's like, what are we doing this quarter? You know? And I'm like, we're sending our daughter to college. Oh, or we're paying a bill. That counts too, you know? So, yeah, I like Mike. So the way, I don't know if Ainsley met Mike. So Ainsley came to I know this is totally off the topic, but whatever. So Ainsley came to this group that we have a Wednesday morning. Now it's a Zoom group. And we had Mike on because one of the people in the group is one of his pumpkin plan specialists or professionals, whatever he calls them. It's another one of his books, if anybody's listening. Great book, Pumpkin Plan, about, you know, really overcharging your business. So she got him to come and speak to us. And then I kind of, stalking is the wrong word, but I kind of stalked him down until he said, yes, he would come on the podcast. I don't know if Ainsley met him through that or knew him before or whatever, but yeah, he's definitely a great guy. And he's local to us. I mean, he's in Booton, so.
Okay. I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah.
That's
amazing. He's a New Jersey guy. Yeah. He's a New Jersey guy.
I think, Ainsley and I have a mutual, client that we serve, Dive Design, who I believe is in Booton as well. Some young industrial engineering guys who are doing amazing stuff.
I think I know who they do like prototypes for companies.
Yes.
And things?
Yes.
Adam something.
Correct. Adam, yeah. Paul and Alex. Yep.
Yeah. I've spoken to them. Maybe it was through Ainsley. I've spoken to them too. Not on the podcast, but they're. I've sent him a couple of leads for guys who are looking for prototypes and stuff.
Talented guys. Yep.
Yeah. Good. So I appreciate the question, and that leads us into. I know what you want to talk about because you're talking about business planning and all the stuff you do for these guys. So hit me with it.
Oh, that's interesting. That's funny because I have just exposed Alex and Adam to what I call a Jolt business plan, and you know, I know you're very passionate about doing some strategic work, as am I.
Yeah.
And I guess I realized, yeah, in 2018, when I started Denali Consulting, I had a 50-page business plan. Fortunately, I was mentored in how to do it, which is fantastic. However, it just wasn't practical. I couldn't use a 50-page business plan.
It was like too big, right?
As a solopreneur, it was too big. I didn't have enough resources. It was just me. So I realized after some time that, you know, and most entrepreneurs aren't going to be able to, no entrepreneurs are going to be able to spend 40, 80, 120 hours to do that anyway. So I created a 2-hour version.
Yeah.
What I call fast and functional, and it's plenty. And Ray Dalio, right? All these financial guys, they're smart. He's the one that really mentioned somewhere in principles that, you know, you can do, make sure you're doing your strategic work. And by the way, it doesn't have to be extensive. I know we've talked about that.
But it should be ongoing.
Correct.
I think that's the missing element, is that it's an ongoing process. You don't write, like you said, you write a 50-page business plan. You're so exhausted. You're going to put it aside for like the next year. You don't even want to look at it again. You're like, oh, I don't have the bandwidth to like do that again. But if it was on, if like you said, if it was a short process, I boil it down to like 4 sections, or if you did a lean canvas or whatever you're doing, it's something that you can use as a tool, as opposed to it just being an exhausting exercise. I think that's what people, that's their impression of business plans.
And yeah, definitely. The ongoing future management, sort of the measurement and control, like in sort of formal, you know, marketing business planning language. And, you know, remind me what you think, you know, you mentioned in your mind sort of the perfect format for that. What were the areas you would cover even in a shorter, more functional version?
I think I think the 4 major areas of running any business, well, there's your, obviously your product or service or whatever it is you're doing, right? There's the people side of the business. Are you running this yourself? Do you have the skills to do it? Which a lot of people think they can do everything and they can't. Do you need help? Do you need a coach? Do you need a partner? Do you need employees? Whatever it is, it's, you know, kind of sketch that out. Definitely the marketing side of the business, the marketplace and the marketing, and then your financials, which doesn't have to be extremely in depth. Although I think, you know, if you know your numbers, I think that's really important, but that's something that happens over time. So I think if you focus on those 4 areas and they don't have to be completely developed when you start, you know, just so you have an understanding of kind of who's sitting in the car and where it's going. That's the whole thing. I think that people get out of working with like people like you who've had experiences, and you get down in life and you're like, that's not practical to just like do it that way and follow such a big plan, right? It's got to be something that works for you. That's why your question about profit first is very interesting to me, because you don't have to follow it to a letter. you need to implement some of the strategies and use it. Does that mean you will add to it and grow it? Will I add other bank accounts? Yeah, I might over time, but you got to get started.
And yeah, I don't follow it to the T either. And it's interesting. I've sliced the strategic marketing business plan slightly differently, and I'll share that. And the one additional thing that I've added is before I'm going to work with anyone, I want to get to know them. I feel like I need to customize any, I really can't help them until I go through my, what I call my JOLT process. And step one is I want to know what their why, their purpose, their mission, their cause, whatever you want to call it. And so I have them do that. And then something recently I've added is cross-checking that first step is prioritizing, knowing their priorities and literally listing them in order 1 through 5 or 1 through 10, because some people might take the approach of, you know, the oxygen mask and they need to be healthy first to help their others, or they might have their kids first or their spouse.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to make a hard decision. You just have to know your priorities.
Right. No. And I think that's good because you want to be effective for them. And if you're trying to figure it out and come, oh, this is the way we do it, we're great. And they're not even on the same page as you. And they're over here going, no, that's more important to me than this. And you don't know that or pay attention to that. How can you be an effective, you know, coach, mentor, leader for them, you know, guide to their life, because it's definitely a process. You find you work with people long-term, or, you know, they work with you 6 months, a year, a couple of years, and then they're kind of ready to be kicked out of the nest, or.
Oh, that's a great question. I guess because I'm sort of newer in the game, people have, like how Ainsley and I met, our mutual person, John Sherman and Video City Productions. He is really going to hit 7 figures this year, and he's paying himself more competitively and the company's more profitable and he's paying his people better. So, I mean, you know, he literally doubled his profitability and is paying himself, you know, from 50% to 75% of market. Wow. So I don't know the answer to that. I do like the physical therapy philosophy that of developing people and letting them spread their wings. So I think when people are ready, they're going to fly, and, you know, I'll help them intermittently, but certainly, you know, some of the 6-figure companies definitely need help for at least a couple of years.
Yeah. I think, look, obviously I've talked to a lot of different, let's use the word coach as a broad category, right? Coaches, mentors, advisors, guy. I think I find, if I'm paying attention, that the most successful people tend to continue with their coaches and their advisors much longer than the ones that are, well, obviously struggling. They may not be able to pay your bills and it gets hard for them, but I don't think that there's a point where people say, well, I'm so successful, I don't need Lance anymore. I think they say, I'm so successful because I have Lance, I don't want to give him up. You know, and I think that'll probably be your experience too. I've seen that with most of the people that I've worked with. Their longest term clients are their most successful, who don't need them, but want, you know, it's a choice at that point. It's not a need, it's a want.
Yeah. I think people are going to need to add to their inner circle, and there'll be people, you know, experts in their inner circle with varying, you know, backgrounds and bring different things to the table.
Yeah.
And you know, what I've always asked my expert inner circle to do is to give me a recommendation, but then I have to own it and make that hard final decisions.
Right.
You know, based on all that information.
Yeah, no, I'm a big advocate of advisory boards. And if you're small, maybe it's 2 people, maybe it's a coach and 2 other advisors, whatever, but
right.
Using that outside, you know, even if you're just getting started and you're not in the position to hire a coach full time and you're not really sure of everything, you know, get a couple of people together, have lunch with them once a month, every other month, just to pick their brain. And over time, you'll start to develop a different perspective and then be ready to, you know, grow to the next level. And I think a lot of people, I'm not saying you got to go join the alternative board or one of these other groups, you know, Vistage, or I mean, some of them are expensive.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Yeah, totally. But,
you know,
well, I think you could do a couple of things. I think you could probably, again, John Lee Dumas, someone I really follow and emulate, recommends, you know, for everyone listening, the Common Path to Uncommon Success is a great book and it's a great process. Every chapter is a step. But he recommends getting a mentor, someone who's maybe not Tony Robbins, like so far ahead of you, but just 1 year where you want to be.
Right.
And, you know, you advice. Might be able to find some mentors who will help you complimentary. Certainly that's been my story. Some people really paid it forward. And then also, you know, a mastermind, either paid or unpaid, you could probably gather some other entrepreneurs that might be where you are in your journey and you could get together frequently.
Yeah. Once a quarter or something like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I have to share, you know, my tweaked version of a strategic marketing business plan, my Jolt process.
Right.
So after this step one of really, you know, making sure somebody's done some introspective work and thought through things themselves, then I want them to do the same thing for their company. What's the purpose of their company? Are they going to cure cancer? You know, because people want to work in an organization that has a cause. So they need to really firm that up and make sure that it's on paper and they're sharing it with everyone. That's externally facing, outwardly facing. So share that. And then I want to know their vision. And this is like the finished product, right? Are they going to be a $1 trillion company like Apple and have a circular building and with, you know, international, or are they going to be virtual, brick and mortar? Do they want to create legacy? Do they want to build something up to a certain point and sell it? Are they going to remain the CEO to a certain period of time? You know, and, you know, financial freedom is usually part of that equation. They don't really know the numbers, what that could look like and what's involved in selling and all the costs. So that's a lot of fun. And then, you know, we really try to crystallize their avatar, their ideal client, their segment, you know, whatever word or words you want to use. And there's several ways to slice that.
Yeah. But who you do business with can be a choice. Doesn't have to be, right? So
if you do that exercise, it can be. If you don't, it's usually not. You take whatever comes your way.
Well, I can't not go to that because I might get business from him and I got to talk to him and I better be nice to him because he knows this part. I'm like, you know, it's exhausting for me just to listen to that stuff sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right?
And then you can bounce back and forth. You can toggle a little bit in my process between your strategy and your objectives. Because often, you know, you're going to say, and this is where we start to boil it down to like a 12-month or a 1-year plan. You know, we want to do X revenue and X profitability, X number of clients. Okay, but I'm going to do that by having the most quality product or whatever. So they can toggle. And then one last step before we jump to actions is critical success factors. Really, without doing these things, you will fail. So for me, with my physical therapy business, we lost our Medicare contract, you know, or as a solopreneur, if you lose your health, you know, things like that. So you really put them on the radar and remember them. And then once you finish these steps and only then can you jump to action, because I see that as one of the big common mistakes, you know, especially in sort of action oriented or salespeople, they want to jump straight to actions.
Oh my God. They want to go to China, make the product, fill up the basement and they're off selling, you know, and then
totally.
It's just, I mean, there's a lot of mistakes made there and people can do things and test things and learn and figure themselves out where they want to be and what they want to do. All strategically, but if you don't have a plan, what do they say?
Failing to plan is planning to fail.
To fail. There you go.
Yes.
I know that. Yeah. I'm a little tired today. But I think that's true. And I think a lot of people, maybe it's that entrepreneurs are very, and I guess maybe you're like this too, very right brain, creative. You know, you want to create something, you're working on the website, you're coming out with the product, you're building the marketing thing. You're so excited about it, but you skip some vital steps that the left brain really could kind of have a lot of input on. And I think we all kind of fall victim to that a little bit, but consciousness, like you said, whether you read a book or you follow somebody or you follow multiple people and you like their philosophy, that I think that's a lot to be said for staying out of that trap of just being so enamored by the next shiny object in the room. You're like, oh, I love that. And then you forget all the things that you need to do.
And it's a balance. It's a combination of being on the mountaintop and doing some strategic work versus being down, you know, in the trenches and, you know, hand-to-hand combat. You can't do just one or the other, and you have to do the right amount at the right time as well. So it's not easy, right? And that's why 96% of small businesses fail within 10 years. It's definitely not easy.
Look, it took a lot for you to, you know, employ the E-myth, right? And get away from the business to be able to focus on things. And I'm sure it took strategic planning just to even equip your business so it could run without you to the extent that you wanted it to, right?
Absolutely. Definitely. You know, in my book, it's the middle section of the business fundamentals, really. So my book, similar to JLD, is, you know, every chapter is a step or a process. And the first section is introspective, like your purpose, your mission, your why. And then the second section is business fundamentals. And then the last section is actionable health and lifestyle information, mental health, nutrition, sleep, exercise, and then posture and ergonomics.
Yeah. No, because you're a PT guy, so you know all that stuff.
That's right. Yeah. Posture and ergonomics. I mean, you are talking my language right
here. Well, yeah, I should sit up. I got you on here. It'll look good. But yeah, posture. Oh my God. Posture is such a big, I mean, I guess if you think about it, right, from a posture standpoint, if you're always walking like this, you know, whatever, you get depressed. If you're feeling good, I don't know what goes first. Is it the feeling good and then you have the posture, or you have the good posture and it makes you feel good? I don't know. You're the PT guy.
There's a little bit of back and forth on that for sure. I mean, obviously being up, you know, in better posture, you're getting more oxygenation to your brain, which is going to control those hormones. So yeah, a little bit of chicken and an egg, hard to probably, you could probably argue either way, but it's connected. So, and there's a lot of debate among the neuroscientists, really, you know, almost like the think and grow rich, right? Is it the thought first or the action first? And I've heard it said both ways. I think it's Andrew Huberman at USC, I think is one of the, in the camp of it's actually the action first, because really I think the majority of neuroscientists, people are kind of saying, you know, think it and then it'll happen, almost like Napoleon Hill type thing. So I'm really fascinated about neuroscience and even like Elon Musk company, if you're not familiar with Neuralink, for example.
Yeah. What does that do? I know he's got a lot of companies.
So this is a brain computer interface.
So it can integrate with your brain.
Yeah. So in his words, it's like putting a Fitbit in your brain with two leads, and he's going to follow the formula for eye surgery. It's going to be a couple thousand dollars out of pocket. There's literally going to be a robot that's going to take a little chunk of your skull, and it's going to be automated. And, you know, the initial uses are going to be very exciting. Again, for me, you know, as a physical therapist, it's going to be spinal cord injuries, brain injuries, vision loss, hearing loss. It's going to change the world.
You mean to make that pulse system work again? Basically.
Yeah. Any problems like a spinal cord injury, it'd almost be like if you had a tripped circuit breaker, right? The technology is going to fill in that gap now. So they'll be whole. They'll be able to function.
Major science fiction, like we see in the movies, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both. I think you can't just have action without positive thinking, right? And you can't just be positive and just thinking like God will provide. Well, you know, God puts you on a lake in a boat and you get a row to shore before you get hit by lightning. I mean, that's the providing, right? So, but I am a big believer from the neuroscience standpoint that we are, you know, our bodies are running with electricity. And if we have positive feelings and thoughts and whatever, we definitely put that out there. I mean, people that are, you know, people that you're around, you're just like not happy to be around them. They're not happy people. They're not nice. They're depressed, whatever. And they put that out to the world. And I think that you get that back. Like we're in an attraction. I'm not a doctor. You are, but we're in an attraction world, right? You don't kind of distract people. There's no like dispelling things. If you're worried about something, somehow you attract that inadvertently. So I think that, you know, a lot, it kind of fits together. I think it's two halves of a whole. I guess they'll debate it because they want to be scholars or whatever, but
no, yeah, there's so much truth to that, really, who you spend your time with and, you know, who you attract. And it's part of the reason I love spending my time with, in 2018, I realized with leaders and entrepreneurs, I mean, it's the most exhilarating thing to me. And, you know, I was just at an amazing conference with entrepreneurs in 2021 in Puerto Rico, and it was a small conference, 100 people. And I never really heard the term manifest.
Who's going to Puerto Rico in 2021? You've got a lot of guts.
Yeah. And it was on health, wealth, and impact philanthropy. It was just like so, and so much neuroscience, you know, in the health part. And, you know, Thaddeus Gallo was finishing his PhD in neuroscience and just really resonated with me. And I never heard the term manifest used so often. But, you know, these 100 entrepreneurs, we're all supporting each other. I just got off of a, you know, mastermind, real estate and other things, you know, real estate investing and other things with these same people. And you know, people are literally creating success and creating what they're imagining. So it's a lot of, there's definitely a lot of truth to it on what you're saying.
Yeah. So you do your own coaching. You practice what you preach. You go to the
mastermind.
You attend the things. You want to, just like me, I want to, you know, absorb all that stuff. It's
sure.
exciting. It's exhilarating.
Totally. You can be a little bit of a junkie on the learning.
You do,
part.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger and I was in sales and I was, you know, trying to get motivated, whatever. And we had cassette tapes in those days, right? So remember those like plastic books from Nightingale Cone?
Oh, yeah.
Popping one in.
Who were you listening to?
Oh, I was everything. Brian Tracy, you know, Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
Everything all the way to Deepak Chopra all over the place. Cause you'd always, you'd finish the book. And you'd be like, oh, there's gotta be something else. And then you'd find all this great stuff. There's so much good stuff out there that different people are putting out. Like, you know, you mentioned JLD, he's got other things that he reads and he's fine. So I always like want to know what they have learned from, and you follow that kind of path along the way. And they cross a lot of times, you know, it's interesting. So here's a tough question.
Yeah.
You've been coaching now for about 3-4 years, right?
Yep.
Coach a lot of people. Anybody, I don't want names obviously, but do you have any recollection of some people where you've met and you're just like, you know, I just don't think I can help this person. Maybe it's their mindset or whatever. Do you remember those experiences?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, people have to, that's sort of the challenge of being, you know, a coach consultant, that they still have to execute. And certainly, yeah, if people don't have their minds right, it becomes pretty obvious as you're really getting to know someone that, you know, maybe they're just not quite ready. So yeah, no, there's plenty of people. And then there's people even in physical therapy. And I can remember in fitness when I had to fire my first client, who it was very, very rare, but, you know, someone who was just cantankerous, I mean, just negative, and there was no fixing it. We had exhausted it.
Yeah.
And I had to ask him to leave.
And he needed your help, but you just couldn't give it to him.
Yeah. This was fitness, you know, more on like the membership side. They were just a negative influence, and it's pretty hard to, you know, I remember being hard to sort of fire a client, right? I'm like, well, this sort of seems like the opposite of what I'm trying to do, but
right.
It was the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that sometimes, and not just coaches, I mean, in business, you can't work with everybody. I mean, there's people, personalities that you can't work with, and there's negative people that, well, not only you won't be able to help, but then they're going to drag you down. You're going to affect your other clients. I mean, and I think people overlook that sometimes when they're just trying to get every client they possibly can. The negative impact that a bad client can have on your business is sometimes irreparable. You
and
know?
Just like a bad hire. And, you know,
yeah, that's
again,
too,
bringing
yeah.
it back to that good old strategic marketing plan, right? I mean, if you don't know your avatar, your segment, your niche, your ideal client, right?
And you can't identify it, right?
Everything to, you know, just attack all these angles, it's not going to work.
No. And I think it's exhausting. It's not a healthy way. Like, I think everybody, right? You go into business, people like you were joking with me and I'm joking, accidental entrepreneur, right? But we go in with the intention of being successful. Maybe we all don't have the vision of it, but so why would you want to then build a business like totally haphazard like that, right? You wouldn't do anything else in your life that way. You wouldn't run your house totally. Well, maybe some people do. It's probably a mess. You wouldn't run your house haphazard. You wouldn't participate in sports haphazardly. They're organized. You can't win. of people doing in business. And it's more important than any of those. Well, maybe not your household, but you know what I mean? And then, so I'm hoping that with all this stuff, and that's one of the reasons I do the podcast, one of the reasons why you write the books and we're out there, you know, preaching the good word, is that people will, a little bit from everybody, start to learn things as we're all, so many of us now are entrepreneurs, we're small business owners. I'm not even sure that many people should be small business owners, you know, but just the world has changed and the way you can do it. But you better go out there and you better learn some fundamentals and how to do strategic planning and find people like you that fit, you know, that they feel is a good fit and like me or like you or whatever. And don't do it on your own. Just winging it. Because it doesn't have to be that. It could be a lot easier and a lot more fun.
I would really love to see the numbers reverse, you know, the 96% failure stat become a 96% successful stat. I mean, entrepreneurship is amazing. And especially if you can develop the skills enough to have some success and balance and achieve financial freedom and lifestyle freedom and geographic freedom.
Right.
You know.
And 9 times out of 10, I think you'll agree with me that it's not that there are things that you and I can do that other people can't do. They don't do them. Successful people do the things that other people don't, are unwilling to do. Yeah. Not that they can't do in most cases.
Pain.
Right?
I'm reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. And the chapter I just finished is on just that. It's, there could be a little like, really successful people or elite athletes, there's a little bit of boredom and you have to actually be able to persevere through that, you know, a little bit of boredom, a little bit of pain.
Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit, it gets a little bit easier for them relative to other things. But I mean, look, there's things that Elon Musk does and Jeff Bezos do and Richard Branson are doing that a lot of us can't do, but the basic fundamentals of strategic planning and coaching and learning and doing it the right way, that's all available to all of us. It's all available. Go out and do it. So you got a little bit more time or we got to?
Oh, I'm all yours.
You're good? All right, yeah. Good. So what are your plans, right? Because now the world is kind of changing and you just admitted that you went to Puerto Rico. I hope you got a COVID test when you came back. but I got one from Florida. We turned up negative yesterday. Okay. What are your plans for this year in terms of your, well, you know, your coaching business?
Yeah. So definitely continuing to develop myself. This group I mentioned, the Guardians, is having a peak brain performance conference that I'm really excited about. However, yeah, COVID is still rearing its ugly head a little bit because it's in Austin in a couple of weeks. So I have to figure that out.
It's not good. Austin's bad.
I know.
Hospitals are overwhelmed. And it's a great city. Austin's a great city. That's where, is the University of Texas in Austin,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're having a tough time.
I was there for the first time 2 years ago for self-publishing schools, you know, first in-person conference. And that's going to be virtual this year for the second year in a row, which is a really...
Yeah, the first time was before the pandemic?
It was. Yeah, that was my first time in Austin. It was a blast. So Austin's amazing. So yeah, really excited about continuing to study the brain and investing. I'm really doing a lot of work and, you know, have some my own mastermind and accountability groups on real estate investing. I really want to diversify and get my first physical property. I've done some sort of crowdfunding over the last couple of years. Uh-huh. And I read Benjamin Graham's The Intelligent Investor and just really, you know, a lot of more basic books, let's call it, because that's a heavy read, but I highly recommend it. That will open your mind like no other. I don't know if you've read that.
No, but I will now. Okay. I always like hearing about new books.
Be ready. I mean, that's what Warren Buffett considers the greatest investing book of all time. I mean, he must be some kind of statistician. He went from the stock market and reviewed it from, you know, in the 1880s all the way through and then reviewed it like every chunk of, you know, 20 or 30 years until he passed. So it's pretty powerful. Definitely check that out. So yeah, really loving, you know, learning about investing and the brain and leadership so I can, you know, support the people that I serve the best. And yeah, I'm always, you know, now that half the year is over, this time of year is a great time for people to look at the first half of their year and do an updated or, you know, create their first marketing business plan.
Yeah. So what's the best way to, for people to learn about you, interact with you, that type of stuff?
Sure. People can email me directly at drlancenob@denaliconsultingteam.com. Denali, like the the mountain. That's the native word for a great one for, you know, it was Mount McKinley temporarily. And I'm on socials at Dr. Lance Knob on Instagram. And
right. We'll put all these links in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so, absolutely. And if anyone really, I know we talked a lot about business planning, but my offer to people would be,
yeah,
I've got a complimentary version of that process I described. And if people go to denaliconsultingteam.com/strategy, they can receive that complimentary. And if people want the additional gift, if you actually take the first cut at it, I will give you a complimentary strategy call, 20-minute strategy call to help fill in any gaps on your marketing business plan.
Okay, great. Well, I love offers for guests, listeners. So let's put a link in the show notes with that whole URL. People can go there and give it a try and hopefully get them on the right path, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So Dr. Lance Knob, I appreciate you coming on, spending time with me. I thank Ainsley for introducing us. And let's definitely stay in touch. Maybe we get some coffee at some point in person when we're allowed to go back out in the world. And
absolutely. I would love that.
Talk a little bit. All right. Thanks for coming on, Lance.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mitch.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.